Good to see you all. Thank you for being here, spending some time. My name's Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. Because it's the Olympics, I thought I would share a couple of my athletic past stories with you. So when I was in high school, I got talked into joining wrestling. And so as a freshman in high school, I weighed 95 pounds, and I was a monster. I mean, you would have been really scared of me. And I decided to wrestle, and wrestling was tough. The workouts were horrible. The beatings were horrible. In the first year of wrestling, they say you mostly count lights, which means you're laying on your back, looking at the ceiling, and figuring out how many lights the gym has. And those of you that don't know wrestling, that's how you lose. In wrestling, if you're on your back, you are losing. And so we had a tournament one time, so I was on the JV team. And in this, it was a duel, so it's just two teams against each other. And so the varsity, there's really specific weight classes, and they all line up and they wrestle each other. And then you get a team score, and you figure out which team won the duel. And then the JV, they just kind of, whatever, you know, they don't have all the weights. They just kind of throw people in together and give them some matches. And so I wrestled this guy. He was pretty big. I think he was like 105 pounds. And I was doing pretty good. I got in on him, and I got behind him, and I had a hold of him behind him, and I was trying to take him down, straining with all my strength. And I'm holding him, and he did something that's not any good. He was obviously on JV. But he just, as I was holding him from the back, he just fell on top of me backwards. And so I fell on my back, and I'm still holding on to him. And the ref counts in a pin. I don't know if anybody else has ever pinned anybody without even holding on to him. But I got pinned without him holding on to me. And so the way it works on the team score, you can get anywhere from 3 to 6 points for your team. And so he got 6 points for the pin, which is the most points your team can get. In case you guys don't know, JV does not matter, except if you're wrestling JV. And so our duel, the final score of our duel was like 88-6. And we murdered Woodland Park. We destroyed them. And they got 6 points. Because of one guy that won on their team. And so I wasn't feeling very excited about that. And I was sitting in the bleachers afterwards, and my wrestling partner, who had actually wrestled the same guy and beat him, came up to me and said some really encouraging words to me, which were, "Do you not know what a shutout is? Don't you understand what a shutout is?" I did. I actually understood what a shutout was. And I actually understood that if it wasn't for me, we would have had a shutout. We would have beat them 88-0. And so at 14, I walked off the bleachers, and I walked outside, and I cried. Because it meant something to me. After college, I got a job working manual labor. I worked for a guy in our church, and it was hard work. And I got physically pretty strong, and then I got married. And my wife and I decided it would be cool to become firefighters in the wildfires of Colorado, which pretty good jobs right now when the whole state is burning down. But so we went to this class. It's called Getting Your Red Card, and we went to a class for a week. They taught us about weather patterns. They taught us about all this fire and how it works and how to predict it. And then after that, there was an actual training where they teach you how to dig fire line, how to use pumps and hoses, how to get into your fire shelter in an emergency in 10 seconds or less, the skills of that. And so at the start of that, there's probably 150 people in that. At the start of that, you had to do a physical fitness test to make sure you were fit enough. And usually they do a pack test, But there were so many of us that they decided to do a running test. So we had to run a mile and a half, and I forget what time we had to get under. And they said, whoever wins gets to ride in the helicopter. Like, whoa, that would be cool. And so we're all broken into groups. I was in one group. My wife's in another group. And there were some people that were coming up to this guy in my group. Hey, you going to win it? He's like, we'll see. And so I'm like, I'm going to try to keep up with him. And so we ran the mile and a half, and this guy smoked me. At the end, I could hardly see him. We're running through the woods, kind of. Yeah, I think he beat me by a good 30 seconds. But I hadn't run in a long time, but I was in good physical shape just from my job. And so it was fun. So then we all huddled up. We came back. They had the helicopter out there. And they said this year the times were pretty close, so we decided to choose the top eight to ride in the helicopter. And so they started calling names, and I was number eight. And they called me in. And so we got to go in, and we don't know anything about fighting fires. And we get to go in. We go in, and they give us the cool Nomex yellow gear and the hats. And while we're changing and getting the gear on, the rest of the people are sitting by the helicopter. And then we get to come out as if we're like real firefighters. We come walking out right through the middle of the crowd. They open the doors to the helicopter. We duck in and get into the helicopter. And we get to go on this flight around the city. And the amazing thing, I didn't actually want to talk to you guys today about athletics. I wanted to talk to you guys today about identity, about who we are. And the amazing thing is, those two experiences did not actually change who I was. When I felt like a worthless person, who it would be better if I wasn't on the team, it didn't actually change who I was. When I felt like I was like the man, walking out in my Nomex, it didn't actually change who I was. It was a perception based on things that happened, but deep down, I was still the exact same person. And it's amazing to me how important our sense of identity is. What you believe about yourself, I think, is possibly the second most important thing in your entire life. The first being what you believe about God. What you believe about yourself absolutely transforms and affects the way you experience life. Just this week, I got to talk to a family member, and they were saying with me in this heartfelt, tear-filled conversation, how they don't feel like they really belong. They don't really fit in the bigger family. This is my extended family. And they feel like everybody else kind of has a place. Everybody else seems to fit in. But for them, it doesn't seem like they do, like they don't belong. And as I'm talking through that and sharing with them and hearing them, it's amazing how that belief affects how they experience things. Guess what happens when they come to a family gathering? They come and they often sit on the sideline. And they're often really hard to talk to. And I'm trying to like communicate they belong, but instead what comes across is, I don't really belong. Because those beliefs about who we are so huge. And they affect our experience. When you walk into a room of people, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, the way you react, the way you will be in that room is based on what you believe about yourself. When someone doesn't email you back very soon, or someone doesn't talk to you in a certain way or talks to you in a certain way, the reaction that comes out of you is based on what you believe about yourself. And when we're going into a conversation and we have this sense of anxiety, like, I don't really want to make this call. I don't really want to go here. It's because of what we believe about ourselves. And when we're in a conversation and we have this anger that comes out, like maybe even out of nowhere, it's because of what we believe about ourselves. Or if you leave a conversation and you have a sense of shame or embarrassment, it's because of what we believe about ourselves. I just think it's so huge in our lives. And so I want to share a couple things today about that, about really grasping who we are, about having a really powerful sense of identity. I believe it's a lifelong work. You're not going to leave here today and be like, oh, I just know who I am. But I hope it's a piece of God's work in reminding you and transforming you so that you can live in who you really are. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. God, I thank you for who you say we are. God, I ask that you would tune our hearts to that. I ask that you would give us soft hearts to let you speak, even speak into some of those wounds and some of those broken places where we've decided who we are. I ask that you would give us the courage to disown those beliefs and the courage to let you speak something new. Tell us who we are. Give us ears to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you got a handout, I want to share who we are because of Jesus. And that just that question by itself, who am I? What you would say if you said, I am blank, fill in the blank. That's identity. It is, and it's tied to our self-worth. So the world system of identity, what we get just from the world, is that identity is based on two things. It's equal to your performance, what you do, and other people's opinions, what they think of you. And in the world, that's how we get our identity, those two things. How did I perform? What do you think? And so from those, I would call this, it's my performance identity, or it's the identity I earn in the eyes of others. And others might include myself. Sometimes we're our own harshest critics. And so in this includes two things. Another way to say this, it would be your resume. Your resume is what I can do and what I have accomplished. And your reputation. My reputation is what others think of me. And I'm not trying to say today that our resumes and our reputations don't matter. They're actually important. They have a huge impact on our lives. But what I want to say today is those do not define us. They are not who we are. Who I am is independent of those. It is important. My reputation affects my experience in life, my resume. I have certain abilities and certain things I'm lousy at. But that's not who I am. Instead, God's system of identity is based on one thing. What God says is true about me. What does God say is true about me? That is who I am. Because He's the one that made me. He's the one who gets to say who I am. What He says about me is who I truly am. This is my given identity. I did not earn it. I did not work for it. It was given to me. Or maybe I could say my freely given identity. Here it is. We could also call it a grace identity, because grace is that. It's the free gift of God. Another way to say that would be my gospel identity. My gospel identity means the gospel is what Jesus did for us. That is the gospel. And so My gospel identity is who I am because of Jesus. It's not who I am because of anything else. My gospel identity is who I am because of Jesus. If I was to summarize who I am because of Jesus in one sentence, what I come to is, I am a deeply loved child of God. Because of Jesus, I am a deeply loved child of God. And when I live from that sense of identity, the things that come out of my life are good. They bring things to other people that are of value. When I live from a broken identity, the things that come out of me are broken. And so, in one sense, is that Neil Anderson is an author, and he breaks it down into three areas. So, for me, if you just got one, it's I'm a deeply loved child of God. He breaks it down into three. Because of Jesus, I am accepted. Because of Jesus, I am secure. And because of Jesus, I am significant. And I think those three add some teeth to it. I think it adds something really powerful. Because of Jesus, I am accepted, I am secure, and I am significant. And so I want to allow us to really process that, to really dig into that. And so I'm going to read some statements to you. And we're going to look at those areas. I'm accepted, I'm secure, I'm significant. If you're here today or listening in and you're trying to look at Jesus, you're in process, you're seeking, you're on a journey, but you wouldn't necessarily say, I've put my faith, my trust in Jesus. I just want to commend that you're in a really good place. What a beautiful place to be seeking Jesus. Do you have something for me? God, where are you? God, are you there? God, do you love me? So if you're in that place, what I'm sharing today might kind of be like going to somebody else's family reunion. I hope that doesn't feel awkward. I'm going to share some things. If you have said yes to Jesus and you put your trust in him, the things I'm reading are things that are true about you. And if you're in that process, what a great place. And I just invite you to look at those and be like, wow, is that really what Christ is offering me? If I jump in with Jesus, is that what I would get with him? And so in either place, I hope it's encouraging to you. So on this list, there's like a little over 30 things. I'm going to read these. I want to ask you, if you feel comfortable with it, to not read the sheet. I'm just going to say these to you. And if you want to close your eyes or keep them open, either way, but just in that place, even if you close your eyes, just let this phrase come in and sit there for a moment and just let it rattle around. Let it penetrate whatever it needs to. Own it, reflect on it. So I'm going to go kind of slow. It's going to take a bit. We're just going to go through every single one of these sentences. And my hope is that it soaks in. I want it to soak in me. I want to live out of this place. Okay, so because of Jesus, you are God's child. Because of Jesus, you are Christ's friend. Because of Jesus, you have been justified. Because of Jesus, you have been adopted into God's family. Because of Jesus, you are united with the Lord and one with Him in spirit. Because of Jesus, you have been bought with a price. You belong to God. Because of Jesus, you are a saint. Because of Jesus, you have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, you are at peace with God. Because of Jesus, you have been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. Because of Jesus, you are complete. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother or his sister. All right, we're going to go to the second section. That was all about how you are accepted. In Christ, you are accepted. I know this is a lot. We're going to go into the next one. You are secure. Jesus will never drive you away. You are free forever from condemnation. You are assured that all things work together for good. You are free from any condemning charges against you. You cannot be separated from the love of God. You have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You are hidden with Christ in God. The good work that God has begun in you will be perfected. You are a citizen of heaven. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You can find grace and mercy in your time of need. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. One more section. You are significant. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. You have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You are Christ's personal witness. You are God's temple. You are a member of Christ's body with an important part to play. You are a minister of reconciliation for God. you are God's co-worker. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. You are God's workmanship, created to do good works that He prepared for you. You may approach God with freedom and confidence. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right. And so what we just did, that's called meditating on truth, taking truth and thinking about it, receiving it. And I realize that was a lot. That was a lot of truth in a short amount of time. That may have even been challenging. And just to say it, let's just get out there. A lot of it, our minds were wandering. We were thinking about lunch and the person next to us. And that's what happens. When you meditate on truth, your mind goes, and then you come back to it and whatever. We all did it. That's how we are, right? And so I trust there was something in there that God wanted to tell you today that you needed to hear. I think there's so much value. I love that analogy of cows chewing on cud as far as meditating. So the way cows do it, they eat food and then it goes into one of their stomachs and then it's kind of gross, but they burp it up and they chew it more. And then it goes, they have multiple stomachs. And so, but it's like you bring it, you just chew on it and chew on it and then let it rest, chew on it some more. And I want to encourage you, even if there's one of these phrases that is really meaningful to you, to come back to it. And even just chew on it.